This is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. The Ashland Independent Film Festival returns next week to celebrate their 25th year of bringing delightful, thought-provoking movies to the Rogue Valley. This season presents over 40 programs across four venues, and here to give our listeners an overview is the festival's Director of Programming, Aura Johnson. Good morning, Aura.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. And joining us by phone is one of the local filmmakers with a production in this year's festival. He's known for films like Repo Man, Sid and Nancy, and Walker, and his film Dead Souls will screen twice during the festival weekend. Alex Cox, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Aura, I attended your festival preview a few weeks ago, as you know, and got excited for that overview that was here at Southern Oregon University. So you've curated all these films into four or five main tracks. And I know it's kind of loosey-goosey, you know, there's some blurred boundaries, but it's one way to enter such a big body of work. So
there is a lot of crossover with the films this year. And, you know, I try to organize it that way just to make it easier for people to navigate and kind of figure out what they might like to see. So I kind of divvied it up, but a lot of these films really could land in almost any of these categories. But we have environmental films. We have films around history, a number of portrait documentaries, activism documentaries, and then, of course, fiction. We have several wonderful narratives, including Alex's film.
Right, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Yeah. And I saw categories of aging and family, so there's lots of little keywords to kind of hook you in, you know, according to your interests.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, there's a lot of crossover, but it's always interesting to see what bubbles up in terms of what people are making in any given year. And sometimes themes do sort of arise, and it almost feels like collective unconscious coming to the surface.
Yeah, kind of a spirit of the times.
Yes,
that exactly. Must be so interesting to see that come through the pipeline.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, and since we're basically community radio more than ever here now on The Exchange, let's take a closer look at all those films with local ties, which I understand are many. What can you tell us about those, just singling
Absolutely.
A few out?
Well, our opening night film is called The Big Cheese by director Sarah Jo Wolanski. And this film is about cheesemongers and the competitions that they get into, especially in France, to display their cheesemongering skills. So I started watching this film, and all of a sudden I discovered that Sam Rollins, who New Sammy's Cowboy Bistro was named after, is a central character in the film. And it's just a high-energy, delightful. It's got a little bit of a punk rock vibe that you wouldn't expect. And so everything about it was just so much fun. And also, the Oregon Cheese Festival is the same weekend as our film festival. So it just made perfect sense to make that our opening night film.
Oh, that's right. And also, your opening night gala includes a cheese tasting,
That's correct. Hosted. The Oregon Cheese Cave and the Rogue Creamery are being just incredibly generous. And they'll be there providing samples for people to taste. And there might even be some cheeses that are featured in the film that we'll be able to taste afterwards.
Oh, how fun. Okay, what's another local film that you want to single out?
Gosh, we have two. I got to shout out two at the same time because we have two debut feature films from people that were born and raised in Ashland, Oregon. The first one is Trash Baby by J.C. Mayers, and the other one is A Simple Machine by Mark Hoffman. And they're both really impressive, incredible performances, great stories. And so I just couldn't be prouder of those two that they're having their hometown premieres with those. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. And after we finish here, we'll put trailers to those, link to those trailers on our website.
Great.
Okay. One thing, I know you have a lot of award recipients. I definitely want to hear about the Rogue Award winner. He's got a couple of films in this year's festival.
Yes. So our Rogue Award winner this year is Sam Green, and he's just a really unique filmmaker. He often does things that are interactive in his documentaries, and he often approaches things from the first person. He's just got a real curiosity and zeal for life, and then he puts that into his films. He'll become curious about something and then go on a quest to learn more about it. So his most recent film is called The Oldest Person in the World, And it just premiered at Sundance. And I think this is a film that started out with his curiosity about the title holders of the oldest person in the world. He wanted to start interviewing these people. And, of course, that changes, right? Because
yeah.
somebody dies and then the next person is the oldest mm-hmm. person. So I think what started out as sort of an inquiry about longevity sort of morphs into a meditation on mortality and the joys and pains of life and what does it all mean. And so he really travels the globe and connects with some of the oldest people in the world.
Kind of immersive journalism. Yeah,
yes.
I'm reading the tagline
exactly.
right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the randomness of fate and the joy and profound human experience of being alive.
Yes, I think we're all kind of trying to sort that out, right?
Certainly.
What is this all about?
Yeah, and when you get older, you do perhaps tend to become more reflective and your meaning-making muscles start to really fire. Like, what has this all been?
Yes. Yeah.
Sounds wonderful. And he also has a film called 32 Sounds, which we radio people are very excited about.
Yes. So when we give the Rogue Award, we always like to show something of their former work. So this film, 32 Sounds, I believe it came out in 2022, and it's one of his examples of an interactive documentary. And there's multiple versions of this particular film, but it's an exploration of sound and how sound influences our perception of reality. It can trigger memory, just all of these things. And so in his first iterations of this film, there was a live score, live narration, and then you'd be cued at certain points during the film to put headphones on and off because he explores so much in this film, including binaural sound, which is basically the equivalent of 3D sound. Like if you go to a 3D movie, but there is something that is 3D sound, which is what we perceive all the time, but we're not used to it in films. And, you know, we try with 5.1 or 7.1 stereo sound. But this idea of perceiving sound all around us all the time. So it's a fascinating film. I love it. I couldn't help but show it. I'm a former sound effects editor and a recordist. And so for me, a lot of the stuff in the film was very, very familiar.
Yeah.
But I think it's really insightful for those that haven't given a lot of thought to how sound influences how we feel.
Yeah, that is interesting. And yeah. I've noticed on YouTube a lot of videos with binaural beats cropping up
as
well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, my guests are Ora Johnson, Director of Programming for the Ashland Independent Film Festival, and Director Alex Cox, whose film Dead Souls is being screened at this year's festival. I'm Vanessa Finney, and this is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. And Alex, we're going to bring you into the conversation now. Thanks for listening.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
So as a young filmmaker in your 20s, you were still at UCLA Film School. You worked within the studio system. But now, in, I'll say, true independent film festival fashion, you're crowdfunding your movies. And I think it's great to see that platforms like Kickstarter are still alive and kicking. And I imagine that gives you more freedom to pursue passion projects. And that brings me to this film that you have in the festival. It's adapted from a 19th century novel or epic poem, depending on who you talk to, written by the Russian writer Nikolai Gogol. So tell us the synopsis and the setting to start with.
Well, the novel Gogol wrote in 1841 is called Dead Souls, and it's about a man called Chichikov who shows up in what was then Kiev and Rus, and is now called Ukraine, and he starts buying the names of dead people. He pays good money for the names of dead serfs and creates enormous controversy and excitement in the small town in which he appears. The book was the first volume of what Gogol intended to be a three-volume narrative. And the second book he wrote several times but burned the manuscript almost upon completion. The third volume he never even finished. He never, I don't even know if he began the third volume, which was supposed to take place in heaven. So we have a kind of a fragmentary book called Dead Souls, which is quite brilliant. And is Mel Brooks thinks it's the funniest book he ever read. and he keeps it by the bed. And I read this book and I was immediately impressed by, I'm always looking to find an excuse to make a cowboy film. And the protagonist of the book, Chichikov, traverses these enormous distances in a wagon with a wagoneer, coachman, and is a man of mystery, clad in black. And so it sounded to me like a Western. And so I wrote the script, turning it into a Western. And the story is very similar, although the character of the protagonist is somewhat different.
Right, and the names he collects are different. You've updated that.
Ah, yes. Well, he's collecting the names of dead Mexicans because there are no longer slaves. Interestingly, serfdom and slavery were both addressed in the same year. 1861 is the year that the Tsar outlawed serfdom in Russia, and 1861 marks the beginning of the American Civil War, which led ultimately to the Emancipation Proclamation a few years later. So it's very interesting that both countries were dealing with a similar problem, you know, the idea of people as commodities. And so my film takes place in 1890, in the time of the Chinese Exclusion Act, when the Chinese who'd been brought over to work on the railroads were no longer needed, and so the law had changed and the Chinese had to leave. And my protagonist takes advantage of this, the commodification of human beings, in order to compile an enormous list of the names of dead Mexican field workers and miners and makes money off them. How does he make money off them? Now you have to go and see the film.
That's a great teaser. And on that note, let's hear a clip. We're going to play a bit of the scene, Borracho's Dream. Can you set this up for us, Alex?
The protagonist of the film is driven around the countryside. He's not very good at riding a horse, so he's driven around the countryside on a wagon by a coachman, a ramalero, called Borracho. Although Borracho comes from a fine old English family, his name is actually Hedley Pressman Feldman III. But he's kind of, like everybody in the town, has fallen on hard times. And so towards the end of the film, both the protagonist Strindler and Borracho have prophetic dreams. And this is the scene in which Borracho tells Strindler what his dream was.
Okay.
I had the worst dream last night. He was in it. We was in some big city, Denver, Blackhawk, maybe. And there were these big mansions rising way up high. And yet, everywhere you look, there was poor people sleeping on the streets, living in tents. And the worst thing of it were, it weren't just Denver, sir. It was like that all over the world.
Okay, that music, Alex, sounds so spaghetti Western to me. It reminds me that you actually wrote a book on that subject. We have about a minute and a half left. What do you love about that genre?
Oh, its transgressive nature. The fact that it grabbed the old American Western genre, which had kind of come to the end with Lonely of the Brave and the great John Ford film with Liberty Valance, the man who shot Liberty Valance. That was kind of the end of the American Western. And then 2 years later, reinvented by Sergio Leone and his colleagues, and they create a very cynical, very nihilistic, very financially motivated vision of the West, which really did revitalize the Western and kept it alive. And it's kept it alive even to this day. People are still making cowboy films. Oh, I wanted to mention, by the way, because you were talking about the music, the composer of the film, Dan Wall, I hope is going to come to the festival and might be at the opening night party with me and Todd. And the actor who plays Borracho is an actor we've all worked with a lot before, because he's Xander Schloss, and he was in Repo Man, he was in Walker, he was in Straight to Hell, and he's a geriatric member of the geriatric punk band, the Circle Jerks. He still had it, you know. So we had to kind of work around his circle jerk schedule when we were shooting in Arizona.
That's terrific. I did notice that you have an ensemble that you tend to work with again and again. Well, Alex, thank you so much for joining us. Aura, thanks for coming down today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
We look forward to seeing Alex. Your movies will have a couple of chance in all these other films. That does it for another JX. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Creative Way. I'm Vanessa Finney, and my guests were Aura Johnson, Director of Programming for the Ashland Independent Film Festival, which runs April 23rd through the 26th here in Ashland, and filmmaker Alex Cox, whose movie Dead Souls plays twice over the festival weekend. You can find programming details, trailers, and ticket information at ashlandfilm.org.